You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's been a very emotional afternoon. Hot takes galore on the state of the Maple Leafs. And they're in action tomorrow night in Vegas. They've lost five in a row. Saturday night was ugly. I felt for Cascasuo, his NHL debut.
Yeah.
It will be memorable because he made it. He right. played in the NHL.
But he started off well, too. Like, he made some saves early. I'm like, this guy's into the game. Then they just mailed it in and was like, go ahead, deal with that. And he got rinsed.
Well, and that's why when you talk about them, you know, have they quit on the coach? I don't know how to define that. You guys have said it. No one sits there and says, I'm not playing anymore because I don't like the coach. That's not a reality. Do you tune out your coach? Do you start playing in spite of your coach? I think that is realistic and that can happen. And maybe that's what is happening here. But you'd think these guys who have made their bones in the NHL, have made their millions, would be like, for this guy, maybe we hook him up. We'll start the protest again in Vegas. But for Cascasuo, who's a rookie starting his first NHL game, we'll pretend to, to care for him tonight. And it just did not look that way on Saturday night.
But they should have been loaded for bear based on
the circumstances.
Their back-to-backs, even record. Everyone's been talking about how, in the second game of back-to-back, doesn't matter who's in net, they get hung out to dry. Need a better effort, better starts, more consistency. Like the team, the leadership group should take that to heart and go, we don't need a coach to come in here and yell and scream or lay out a game plan. We're going to go out and we're going to dominate the way that we want to play. And I just read a quote from Jake Muzzin saying, X's and O's to me, it's about getting it done. And
playing with passion.
Playing with passion. Exactly. There were times the other night watching, and I know you saw the body language, right? Cascasuo would get scored on. They flashed the bench, and Tavares, Matthews, they're all, shoulders are slumped. You could read that they were losing bad. I get that. That's body language. But to me, during the play, there were times where there wasn't secondary effort. There wasn't a push through. And lost puck battles everywhere. Reaching instead of going through the body. Like, it's things that now we've been watching it for 20 games. Sometimes on nights when they're going, it works well. You're on the offensive side of the puck. You poke it through and you get a quality scoring chance. But to me, the details of their game are not very strong. They got to find a way to be better. And that the other night, I know you played, was it three games in four nights? Could be tired, but Pittsburgh had played the night before. They're losing, they've
those
lost
players.
Those
are just built-in excuses.
Exactly.
Excuses. And those, you're granted those when you're winning.
Exactly, one-offs.
Yeah, like Washington, I don't know when they play next, but they could get beaten 8-0.
Right.
No one's going to freak on them. People are going to say, well, that was ugly. You shouldn't have obviously played like that. They would own it. You move on.
Right.
But the Leafs all year have been playing very inconsistent. We've broken this down many times. They've won six games in regulation and six of the seven worst teams in the league. Like, brutal competition. They cannot beat a team that is of equal value or better value in regulation. They can't do it.
Right.
And the last three games were a prime example. Islanders, Bruins, Penguins.
Right.
And they played different ways over the course of those nine periods. The Islanders, the second period, they were pushing. Beginning of the first, they were pushing. But they let it get away from them. Against Boston, they played fine.
Right.
It was a coin flip game. But the team with more tenacity decided in the third period, we're winning.
Right.
And that's what happened. Brad Marchand said, I'm not losing this game.
Yeah.
And they didn't lose the game.
There was
no counter from the Maple Leafs. And Saturday could be a throwaway, but it's not going to be when you've lost four in a row prior to it.
Correct.
And what has become abundantly clear here, and I don't know if this is the makeup, I don't know if this is the character, I don't know if the coach factors in here, but when this team runs into a bit of a wall and any sort of adversity,
cards just fall down.
They cannot overcome it right now. They are very fragile. Their resiliency is non-existent. They've given up the first goal in 17 of 22.
Yeah, that's...
Like, the numbers are off the charts for how ugly it really has been. In many ways, they're lucky they're 9-9 and 4.
That's what I was saying. Like,
they
context,
should be worse.
Context is everything. You can look at it and say, yeah, 9-9 and 4, not so bad. But if you start digging in to, you know, quality scoring chances against... Like, there's... We forget the 9-9 and 4. Like, Freddie's had a few games where you're like, yeah, Freddie was the difference that night. You know, it hasn't been, you know, the other way where it's like, you know, they just outskilled him and didn't need a goaltender. It's been like, yeah, Freddie made 36, 38 saves tonight. And
it's awfully, I find it awfully difficult, Jamie, to judge him.
Yeah.
Because he just gets shelled every night, and the quality of opportunities that come at him. I'm like, it's like Jonathan Bernier back in the day. I don't even know how to judge this guy. He just gets thrown out to the wolves every game. It's like, how can you make an honest assessment? Like, look at the goaltenders, what they do in Long Island. They
there's about 5-7 times a night you got to make a stop.
Make one or two that you're not supposed to make, and then take care of the normal business, and that's 2 points in the bank.
Right. Yeah. Like, hockey is a game of mistakes. Right. The best defensive teams in the league are still giving up breakaways and 2-1s.
Fall down. Happens. Bounce puck. Yeah, it happens.
But it's the volume, which is what you're pointing out. It's one thing to be like, man, we gave up, you know, 8 or 9 really good chances, and then there's 20.
Right.
Like that game in Chicago, they gave up like 20 plus grade A chances.
Right.
And when you look at what they're doing offensively, it's a problem as well. They are not getting into the home plate area.
Yeah.
Like, those stats are all over social media and people are paying attention to it, but you don't need to see them to know it. You watch it.
Right.
And like, Matthews is a great example. Matthews is scoring at home off the charts. But on the road, you got to get a little ugly. You got to get a little dirty. And he's not, there aren't scrums around the net where he's got 1 whack, 2 whack, 3 whacks.
Right.
It's not like he's right there from breaking out. It's a lot of wrist shots from, you know, the top of the dots.
Right, using that release, using his skill, his God-given skill. Yeah, for
sure. And Tavares is the best example because that is where he has made his career.
Yep.
Inside. Tavares in around the crease, that is where he might be better than anyone else in the league.
Strong on pucks, good hands. Yeah, you're right.
But he's not getting in there.
Well, it's not going to get
easier. And the puck's not getting in there.
It's not going to get easier in Vegas because they're an irritable team. They're a team that defends the house well. They've got a real good goaltender in Marc-Andre Fleury. Their team is fast. Like, Vegas, it's crazy that you're in year three, and we're talking about this team as an elite team. Right, basically from the drop of the puck of their organization.
Right. They won opening night. It was an emotional opening night. Vegas strong. And you're like, wow, that's a cool story. And they never stopped.
They haven't looked back. And they're a tough team. That building's tough to play in. We've been there. It's a loud building. Smoky. People are into it because they put a show on. Like, it's and they went in there. Was it last year? Was it 6-3, 6-4?
We were in the building. Well. It was one of the better games they played. They had jump. They deserved to win.
Yeah.
Matthews was exceptional. Marner played well.
Yeah.
Nylander had a good game. Like, it was on the road. Nylander showed up. Riley was in the play all night. So we went over this in the 4 p.m. hour, and we'll revisit it now. You know, how we would rank just through 22 games. Right? Because that's what we have available to us. This is not what we might think in after 82 games. Right. May not be what we think in after 32 games. And it certainly was not what we thought before game one.
Right.
But there are three primary players in this, in how you get to 9-9-4. The players, the coach, and the GM. You guys had the same list in terms of your disappointment, so to speak. You guys started with the players, then you went the coaches.
Yeah.
Then you went management.
Right.
I went management one just because I don't think any of the moves that were made have panned out. Like, I don't see anything that Dubas and Shanahan and the whole group did during the offseason or leading up to the beginning of this season where it's paid dividends for them through 22 games.
Right.
And there are a number of things that I referenced, including the fact that they have no cap flexibility. So the only option you have for a grenade in the room is the coach being removed.
Exactly, to change things, yep.
There's also an element of, and there was a lot of smoke in the summer. Did they want to make a coaching change? I don't know. They never said that publicly. And to be fair to them, which was reasonable, they've come out since day one and said, kumbaya, we're all on the same page here. Mike and Kyle are on the same page. I'm not convinced that that was 100% the case right after Game 7 against the Bruins all the way up until opening night.
Right.
But that's something you've got to consider. Like, if the GM built a team with a different coach in mind or potentially pining for a different coach, and we all think we know who that might be,
right,
in Sheldon Keefe, that's an issue.
You're right. It just... I can't imagine Austin Matthews is sitting there going, yeah, I'd love to have Sheldon Keefe.
No, of course not.
Like, you know, and you never know. I always felt with a coaching change, good or bad, you have to reestablish yourself. You're on trial again. Austin Matthews has a contract. He's an elite scorer. Great. But if Sheldon Keefe decides, you know what, I don't like what you're doing in your own zone, so your minutes are going to be spread out in a different way. Or I believe that star players have to be on the penalty kill. Guess what, Austin? You're going to be on the penalty kill, blocking shots. Like, there's no guarantee that a new coach would just come in and get dropped in there and everything is just be, oh, this is great, no problem. To me, every guy in that room has to reestablish himself and weigh how that coach wants to deploy his
play. Well, and how long will that take? Like, let's say there is a... I don't think... they will make a coaching move over this road trip. And quite frankly, I don't think they should.
Right.
Because this is the first major road trip of the year. Because if you're gonna fire him, clearly he's not going to be fired between now and tomorrow night.
Right.
But if you're going to fire him just as you're getting started on the first road trip of the year, what you're telling the world is you wanted to fire him in the summer and you didn't do it.
Right.
Doesn't it get so ugly though? If they drop in Vegas, Colorado, and Arizona, aren't you thinking like
that's different? Although you know who they play next, at Detroit would be the following game.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I'm just saying symbolically, where did he come from?
Right.
He came from Detroit. I'm just saying I don't think he's going to get fired on the road.
Unless
tomorrow night it's 8-0 and then 7-1, then I guess all bets are off.
Right.
But I think we're going to know. Because the market has some power here. It did with Ron Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
It did with Carlisle to an extent. If they come back and they play Buffalo on that Saturday night, like 12 days from now or whatever, and they've lost a bunch of these games and the fire Babcock chant starts up, then who knows what's going to happen.
Right, because you know Berkey had said, I can't put him out there,
right,
and Ron then, Wilson out there again.
And but at that point, Babcock may even off the record be like, I'm done here. Let's move on. This isn't working.
I don't see that happen. I agree with you. And I think this team wins a game or two on the road. I do. You know, but something has to change. And to me, it's not Cascasuo winning a game. It's Freddie standing on his head. It's Morgan Riley playing to his capability. It's Tyson Barrie having some confidence in his game. It's Jake Muzzin playing with some irritability on the back end, being physical. You know, it's everyone playing to their capabilities. Yeah, you're banged up. You're missing Kerfoot. You're missing Mitch Marner. The excuse train is there. But just ask Montreal, just ask Boston, all the teams that are nicked up. They still have to play games. You got to go in to a hostile environment. It's crazy still saying it. Vegas is a hostile environment.
But there'll be a lot of Leaf fans there tomorrow night.
Sure there will.
A lot. When we were there, like 30% of the building was Toronto.
For sure.
But if they get down, that could turn on you.
All it is up to those players and that coach to find a way to get a win and build on it. And when you're not confident, you're scared to lose instead of going out expecting to win. That's something that you're starting to see creep in too.
It looks like they might change up the defensive pairings anyway.
Yeah.
Like Justin Hall with Jake Muzzin, Tyson Barrie with Travis Dermott. We'll find out by tomorrow night.
But how is that going to help Tyson
Honestly,
Barrie?
Honestly, yes.
Like that's the thing.
There's only one thing that helps him. If he runs the power play and if he doesn't do that, what else does he bring to the table? Right now, it's zero.
Right now, it's nothing. But that's on him, as I've said.
No kidding.
That's on him. That's not Mike Babcock's fault. You play him 20 minutes, you know, 17 minutes 5-on-5, and he's turning the puck over and running around.
You're right.
He's a pro, man. He's been in the league a long time.
Yeah, and you expect more from
him. He's got to be better.
I'm just saying, try to place him. I don't know if that's placing him in a situation, or right away he looks at that lineup and goes, I'm now even on a third pair.
Exactly.
Like
Am I playing 15 minutes tonight?
I know I deserve to be there for my 5-on-5 play, but that's not helping with the confidence of a player.
Well, and you still have Cody Ceci
Still playing in the top pairing, which he's for me, he's not a top pairing guy.
No, but that's the problem with the makeup of the team. You know, and we probably should have known this, and I know some people expressed it prior to the season. When you look at their top six right now, the only guy who you feel confident in a stable defensive unit playing his role below their blue line is Muzzin.
Right.
Like, for me, Morgan Riley, this is the worst defensive play he's played since he was, like, a rookie. Like, he's been a real liability defensively.
But does that, and I'm not letting him off the hook.
Could be CeCe, but
part of it's your partner, too.
It is, but at some point, you got to be better than this.
For sure.
Like, I don't care who you're playing with. This is an isolated.
Marchand,
it didn't matter who was on the ice. That was a one-on-one play, and Marchand just bonked him. Barry has never been a defensive stalwart. He wasn't going to be when they acquired him. Travis Dermott still has a lot to learn defensively.
Still finding his
game. He needs to get it going. Yeah, he needs to figure out that him doing the little puck thing trick in the warm-up, nobody cares about that. It's over. You've done that 100 times. Nobody cares. Go out there and play. You're good enough. You're skilled enough. And you can do it.
And gosh darn it, people like you.
Motivational speech.
As soon as I was in the middle of that, I'm like, I got to get out of this. But seriously, I don't know. Sometimes I look at him, I'm like, you're so good.
Well, he's got the tools.
Yeah, it's
right?
like forget about the stupid thing in the warm-up with the puck and juggling it. Nobody cares. Yeah. I'm sick of seeing that. Well, just go out there and play good.
Every player has, their pregame.
Oh, really? How many people do you know that do that?
I don't know. I don't care what they
do. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
I see Torrey Krug and Pastrnak do that spin around. Everyone's got their thing. All I care about with Travis Dermott is play up to your capability. He's a good skater. Move the puck. You don't, like, in your mind, you know you're a good player, but you have to play that way. What I mean by that is I think he's a guy who thinks he's a 600-game vet already.
That's exactly right.
And you got to check yourself a little bit and say, you got to play with a little bit of fear. Play like, hey, I don't want to give this puck away. I'll have to absorb contact to make this play. Not every play is hero mode, if that makes sense. And you know, he's not the only guy guilty of that. Their D get caved in because they get trapped in their zone. And I don't think the forwards help out. I'm not letting the forwards off the hook whatsoever.
No, the forwards play a big role in it. The coach, his system, I mean, everybody. We've detailed it.
Yeah, there's so many things here.
And it's easy to look at the coach, and the coach has not done his job. This is his fifth year here. They've never played worse defensively, or it hasn't looked this bad anyway.
Right.
And if this is the only change he's going to make, he said, I'm going to jump on the plane for 4.5 hours. If the only change you have is Hall for Barry, that's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
It's got to be significant in terms of they're taking way too many shots from the point. The power play is stagnant.
It's a mess.
Anyway.
It's all a mess.
Yeah,
all
it's not
it.
Good right
but
now.
They can get going.
That's exact. It's November 18th.
Right.
Not March 18th.
Perspective and
60
like
games.
Just relax.
Three or four wins in a row changes everything.
But that's what happened a week and a half ago. We didn't like how they won 3 games in a row, but they won.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, you know.
9-5-3
along,
or whatever.
Yeah,
let's
you
see.
Sat in here, sat across from me and said, however it's came about, they're 9-5-3.
But what I also said was.
Now they're 9-9-4.
What I also said, though, was if this is rock bottom.
You're all right.
You're all right.
That's not rock bottom.
That was 9-5-3 was not rock bottom.
Right.
9-9-4, I hope, is rock bottom.
It's yeah, you hope it's
you got to believe.
That. Yeah.
We're looking for our third winner this week to send on TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break and Ultimate Hockey Vacation from bookseats.com. Join Toronto as they take on Tampa and Florida down in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, 4 nights accommodations, and tickets to the games in late February. To enter, you follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050 and at bookseats.com. Again, on Instagram, find our latest Superfan Spring Break post and tag your travel buddy. And on Friday, tune into Overdrive. If your handle is announced as the winner, you will have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in and claim your prize. Visit tsn1050.ca for all the details. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. You got to get on bookseats.com to get to Calgary for the Grey Cup. I got to believe that's what Milt Stegall's going to do. Rod Smith.
All of them.
They're already in Calgary, and they are fired up.
I'm sure they're enjoying themselves.
They were doing hits from Saddle Dome. They're all jacked up.
Well, it was as cold in Hamilton as it was in Saskatchewan yesterday.
Yeah, it's been chilly.
It's been chilly.
I was like, away on the weekend. Was it cold here?
Yeah, but it wasn't. Like, yesterday was a nice, crisp Canadian day.
Not like, in Collingwood. By the kilometer I went north, it went down a degree. It was ridiculous. It was like minus 10 up there.
That's no good.
Not cool.
It was about, plus 2, plus 3 come kickoff.
It's not bad.
With sun, that's all you can ask for. Yeah. And the Hammer, they were fired up in Hamilton. Milt Stegall will help us look back on the Eastern and Western Finals and start teeing up the Grey Cup. Overdrive continues TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
I just heard the grossest thing I've ever heard on the show.
What?
You're talking to the grappler about the line on the football game tonight, and we have a standard Monday night bet, and you were going back and forth talking about how weird it was, and then you said to him, well, that depends on who I'm going to take. What kind of line is that? It's like, I want the line, and I want your pick.
Well, we're talking about the Chiefs Chargers game tonight.
That's exactly right.
And there is some discrepancy based on what book you're looking at. Some have it at 5.5, minus 5.5. Others have it at minus 6 for Kansas City.
Well, what have we been going off of before?
I don't know.
Whatever favors your liking? Or?
Well, what do I look like? Sam Rothstein?
I thought you were going to say what upset you is he said the sharp money.
Well, that's such a greasy
line. It scares me because the sharp money.
I've never heard that before, the sharp money.
Sharp money is.
Do you want to explain to listeners what a sharp money is?
Sharp money is informed money. Like gamblers that basically gamble for a living, that put big money on games like this, that have the power based on who they pick to effectively move the line. Because the line was like minus 4.5 earlier today. So if it's up to minus 5.5 or minus 6, there's been some sharp money on the Kansas City Chiefs.
You think there's a guy that people are like, Bob Schmatz just took them.
Yes. They're
like, uh-oh, he must know something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe not on an NFL line necessarily, although it's moved. It would be bigger than one guy.
Right.
Because it's public money. There must be so much money coming in on Kansas City. They're moving it.
But I that's what I was thinking. Is there's not just one guy that walks
there is on more obscure bets.
Right.
So if there's like a college basketball game, like Butler's playing Buffalo, and some guy walks in and goes 10 grand on Butler, they'd be like, what does this guy know?
Dude, some of those college football games, there's blowouts by 50 points every week.
And they predict, that's what I'm saying, the line will move at a book because some guy walked in and put big money down on a game where they're like, I'm not even paying attention. No one's bet on that.
Yeah.
What does he know that we don't know? Does he know about an injury? Does he know that the quarterback's sick? Does he know that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's shady, but I don't care. Like, who wants the casino to win? So anyway, I think it's at minus 5.5. Chiefs minus 5.5.
Who are you leaning towards?
Well, now I'm kind of thinking maybe Kansas City's the play. I might have to counsel Al's brother at some point. Do you have a feel for this one tonight, Al's brother? Or
phone a friend?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. The line was as low as 3.5.
So what? Yeah, it's a little bit mysterious, right? Like, why would the line move that much?
I mean, I'm not a betting expert, obviously. But, like, I think the Chiefs, I think maybe because that loss to Tennessee last week maybe scared some people. That's why it started off a little low. But then people are thinking, it's Mahomes.
I'll take Kansas City.
I know, but at what? At what?
Minus 5.5. Lock it in. I'm on the Chiefs for a big bounce back. Mahomes, fully healthy.
Phillip Rivers, I watched you at NC State every weekend, you bastard. You better pull this out.
I worry about Phillip Rivers. I would never
worry about him if I were
you. Man, it's a big line for a road game. Like, it'll be all Kansas City Chiefs fans tonight. Chargers fans, there aren't any in L.A. They don't show up. But, all right. I'm on a cooler here, man. You've won like 2 or 3 in a row.
Yeah.
I'm feeling Hamilton in the Grey Cup, though.
Are you?
Yes. I believe they're minus 2 favorites. It is officially Grey Cup week. Our next guest is slightly biased. I mean, I got to believe he's rooting for the Blue Bombers.
Yeah.
He'll be out in Calgary. The panel's going to be out there. It's a big week with the Grey Cup set up. Here's our main man, Milt Stegall. How you doing, Milt?
How you guys doing?
We're doing very well. How do you feel about that? Hamilton, a slight favorite on this Monday ahead of the Grey Cup.
Understandably so. They've definitely been the best team over the course of the year. They've dominated the regular season, dominated the Eastern Conference Finals. So I understand why they're the favorites. But, I mean, I got to root hard for my Bombers. It's going to be a difficult task, but it's time for the drought to end. I know both teams are in a drought, so we're calling this the Drought Bowl, but I'm hoping my Bombers can pull it out.
In terms of the quarterback battle, I mean, these are not the biggest names in the CFL. Who would you give the favorite to? Who would you lean towards, Winnipeg or Hamilton at the quarterback position?
Well, I think you have to go with Hamilton just because what Dane Evans has done, no one thought he would be able to do this once their starter, Jeremiah Mazzoli, went out, and the fact that he was able to lead this team. I think he had a 10-2 record over 12 games. Best record in the CFL is absolutely astonishing. It's only his second year. So Winnipeg, they're in a good position. They are in the Grey Cup. But as far as the quarterback position goes, you have to give it to Dane Evans. Winnipeg has played numerous quarterbacks this year, just numerous quarterbacks over the last four or five games. That doesn't mean they're going to lose the game, but the quarterback position – as far as that goes, you have to definitely favor the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Well, and Evans has the best weapon in the CFL. I saw you guys on the panel talking about it yesterday. I was watching the game. Speedy Banks is off the charts. His catching ability obviously has caught up to his speed, his route running. He's basically unstoppable. If you get him the ball at any point, anywhere on the field, how do you tackle him? I mean, how do you game plan against Brandon Banks?
It's hard to game plan against him because you don't have anyone on your team who can simulate what he does. So, I mean, if I'm Winnipeg, I'm going to play a lot of zone. Of course, the formula for success is getting him in second and long and playing zone and forcing him everything underneath. But if you're trying to play man-to-man against Brandon Banks, and then you have Braylon Addison along with Brandon Banks, it's going to be a long night for these Blue Bombers. And I think Richie Hall, their defensive coordinator, understands that. You're not playing man-to-man on those guys. There's just too much speed, too much quickness. And when they get an open field, they're not only making big plays, but they're making touchdowns. So I think Winnipeg understands that, and they need to make sure that they don't allow those guys to get going. Otherwise, it could be a long evening.
Milt, let's get to the good stuff. You're with your panel mates for a week straight. Who is the most enjoyable to be around? Is it Roddy Smith? Is it Matt Dunnigan? I mean, you guys have any big dinners, any special nights? That's a tradition. What goes on with the panel guys from TSN?
Honestly, I don't hang out with those guys.
What?
I do my own. I'm the only one I like on. I don't like those guys. I like me. I deal with them because I have to. No, I'm just joking. I don't hang out. I'm just not a guy that hangs out. When I played, I didn't hang out, really with my teammates. I just like being by myself, doing my own thing. I may go to a restaurant. I don't party. I don't drink. And not saying anything is wrong with that. That's just not me. So I get along great with all those guys. But, when we're on the road, I really don't do much at all. This is my downtime because when I get back home with the wife and kids, that's when life begins. So, I get along with myself very well. I get along well with those other guys, but it's not much hanging out for me.
Calgary's calling your name, Milt. I mean, yeah. You got to knock the dust off, buddy. It's going to be a party in Calgary.
Yeah, you know what? When you look as good as me, though, it's hard to go out and party, I just can't go out in public all the time. I'm an attractive guy, so try to stay low-key.
Well, and you got to have your head on a swivel, right? Like the Blue Bomber diehards will be looking for you.
Oh, they will be just creeping around.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that. Those fans for Winnipeg, more than those players, those fans, they deserve this. You have fans, some season ticket holders that have been waiting around for 30 years to get that Grey Cup parade. So hopefully they can get it. You have Brad Foddy, the head equipment guy. He's been there basically since 1994 waiting for that Grey Cup ring. So there are a lot of people within that organization who are deserving of that ring. So hopefully they can get it. When those fans come into town, I love those fans. They treat me so well since they've been doing it since 1995, so I have no problem giving the love back that they give me.
Have you ever heard of Shorts Guy from Winnipeg? This is a guy who's worn shorts for 18 years because the Blue Bombers haven't won since 2001.
Yeah, I'm part of the reason why he's wearing those shorts, so I know exactly who you're talking about. I think his name is Chris Matthews, if
yep,
I'm correct.
Yeah. Chris Matthews, yep.
Hopefully he can put on some pants, because I've seen his shorts and his legs aren't the prettiest. So hopefully the Bombers can win so he can finally put on some pants. But those are the type of fans that you have not only in Winnipeg but throughout the CFL. Fans are dedicated. They're passionate. And it's great that we have those type of fans throughout the CFL. But like I said before, hopefully he gets to put on some pants and Winnipeg Blue Bombers can come out with a victory. More so than that, the main thing is that we get a high-scoring, exciting game because that's what the CFL is all about.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Enjoy it all week, Milt. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, sounds great. You guys have a good one.
There's Milt Stegall, our TSN CFL analyst. Doesn't hang out with Hot Rod and the boys.
Doesn't hang out with them. That's kind of weird.
I think Rod Smith is the king of Grey Cup Week.
For sure.
Like, I would think so. He's a legend.
He's such a legend.
And he loves the CFL.
Cuthbert's always calling again.
And our boy,
James Duthie will be out there.
No.
Oh, Glenn Suter.
Glennie Suits is in the house, and he's our main man.
We might have to have CC on this week.
Yeah, let's definitely do that.
He listens to the show. I work with him. He's a fantastic guy. He can talk about any. I'd like to hear what he has to say about the. Not only the CFL, but the NHL, like the Maple Leafs. Because he calls a lot of the games, too. He's right in the mix.
Yeah, he'd have a take or two on that.
Yeah,
we got to get Cuthbert
on. I saw something weird. I went in there to see him while he was calling the game because I wanted to watch something on a replay.
Yeah.
While he talks into his little headset, he holds the little mic, like he muffles it.
Yeah, he holds it tight right to his mouth. Now, he stands. He stands.
Does not sit. The man does not sit.
Gord Miller sits with the book, and he's very... just cut and dry. When CC is energetic, he stands and gets involved physically. It's really, I mean,
it's such an art form because to be that far away from the play to sound like you're right there is incredible.
It's so tough.
It is.
It's so tough. I've never tried it.
It's
I don't want to try it because I'd be so nervous. I just don't feel like I could keep up.
You could keep up. Like, it's just...
You know what we'll do? If we get CC on, we'll get one of his famous calls, like the golden goal.
I don't think we're allowed to use that. It's like IOC copyright. Like certain...
Well, we'll get a Leaf goal, and we'll try to duplicate it and see who does the best job of the three of us.
That's a good idea.
Well, I know what part I would be doing.
You can do color.
I can do
color. You've done color.
No, but you're not doing color. You're going to... Like, we'll get an Austin Matthews goal by CC... And all three of us will try our best to one-up it. Mm-hmm. And who has the best one?
It's very difficult to do. I think the toughest play-by-play on radio might be basketball. Soccer's tough, too. Because
you have to fill the conversation. Can you imagine soccer at 0-0?
Right, but what I'm saying is the ball is always in movement. Like, it's always, you know, like the grappler said golf. I don't think golf would be as tough because it allows you to have a conversation. Like, basketball's always moving. There's no,
About golf, grappler?
Yeah, who cares? Don't worry about it. Thank you, grappler.
He has a 10-foot putt. If he makes this, he moves into second place in the tournament.
Listen, you got to think. Oh, I mean, goodness. There's so much time in between shots where these guys are just walking.
But that's easier, is my point. Okay.
It's like baseball.
I think
they're walking. There's also 45 other guys on the course. You just go to another shot.
Right, but that's where you got to have different guys on the course. What I'm saying is when the play is constant.
Right, it's constantly going.
For radio, that's tough. Like, yeah, basketball, like it's up and down the court. And it's like, you know, the Raptors are on my left, your right, watching. Here comes over the baseline.
Yeah,
like,
you've
got
to describe what's going on for radio.
Right.
You have to describe it.
It's tough. Like, it's tough to do it for any sport.
On TV, play-by-play, you're watching it, and the play-by-play guy is describing it, and same with color.
Right.
Radio is a different animal.
TV, you can let the picture take care of itself.
You can let it breathe.
Right. You don't have to hit everything.
After a goal, when I call a goal... like say Gord or Chris as scorers, you know, Austin Matthews. You let it breathe because you can hear the crowd, and he does the lineup down the bench, high-fiving. Then you say, this is Austin Matthews' 13th goal. Yeah, Matthews, this all starts here. Like, that's – I can't imagine on radio. You can hear – you let it breathe with the crowd, but then you've got to describe what just happened to a T.
Well, yes, but I think, again, the buildup is what is most difficult because the second you go off the beaten path
– right.
And I have heard this before with hockey, with basketball, more so with hockey because there are times in the game, you know, there's a puck battle in the neutral zone. You don't need to necessarily paint that picture.
No, we're telling a story. We're doing
or
something.
You start talking about something else and it's like, well, yeah, we were on the road last night. Shoot scores. And you're like, yeah. How did that happen?
There's a golden rule.
I thought the puck was at the other end of the rink. Like, but how did it get in?
There's a golden rule that anything that is going towards the net,
don't talk.
If I'm color, if I'm talking, drop. You can pick it up later. So that way you don't jam up the play-by-play guy. The hardest part is when you're trying to finish your thought and they're dropping the puck. Sometimes it goes right back to the D and he hammers it towards the net and you're finishing your thought. And that's when he's like, scores!
Right. And jumps on you.
But they have to jump on you. But it's your job to drop. Doesn't matter what you're saying, you can pick it up later. But you have to allow the play-by-play guy to at least make the goal call. Every guy screws up. Every color guy screws up. There's times where Gord or Chris and I have been talking, and I'm talking. All of a sudden, it goes in, and they jump with the score.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do, but at least on TV, you can watch it develop.
One of the... Yeah, you're right.
In radio, it's almost easier to kind of get away with it because people weren't anticipating, like, hey, the guy's on a breakaway. Shut up, you
right.
idiot.
But here's,
you don't even know he's on a breakaway.
One of the most famous calls that I can think of in recent memory of that happening, Ray and Chris were calling a Leaf game, and it was against Arizona, and it was right off the draw going into the third period, and Ray was
Johnny
raving
Burns.
About Johnny Burns, going, Jonathan Bernier's had a fantastic game, and the draw goes back to Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and he shoots it the length of the ice.
Into the net.
And he goes, he has a fantastic game until now. And Chris goes, goal!
It was like, the start of the third period. Yeah. I was in the rink.
I was doing the game, I think.
I was there.
But that one, I laughed on TV. I was watching it because Ray's reaction to it was fantastic. Because he's watching it go in the net, and he's like, Jonathan Bernier has been outstanding tonight until now. Because he watched it go 120 feet into the net.
Right.
So you were at that game?
I was at the game. I was up.
Yeah,
I think I was doing like the pre and post, because that was the Horacek year, I believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was ugly, and someone pulled the pin on, I think, doing the pre and post. And I stepped up, and I remember sitting there and watching that live, thinking Bernie had a really good first and second.
He had a very strong game.
Yes, we know. The game is in Mexico tonight, the Monday Nighter.
Yeah.
We knew that. We forgot to mention it. We
may
have
so my line, my line I have is 6.
I have 5.5. I thought it was 5.5.
How are we going to figure out what the line is?
All right, we'll come back and figure that out. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. It's a neutral site game tonight.
It's 6.
Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the props tonight. Over the number, Patrick Mahomes, 320.5 total passing yards. Over the number, Travis Kelce, total receptions. Under the number in the first half, though, total points. Throw down 20, you can score 84. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So we had a poll question based on the first song we played, The Sound of Silence.
Yeah.
Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend. That was at 4 o'clock. Very depressing in
it
here.
It was a little sad.
The Grappler and Mullen. Asking people, was that appropriate? You know, it's November 18th.
I didn't
yes,
feel like it was.
The Maple Leafs are 9-9-4. It's ugly right now, but there's 60 games left.
Yes.
I will say this before you get to your poll. Just think about this, Maple Leafs fans. If this is as bad as it can get, you're 9-9-4, maybe that's not such a bad thing.
It's not a playoff spot.
It's not right now. Do you guys believe in adversity, building character, yes. building up? You got to go through it.
Yeah. San Jose, the Dallas Stars, and the New Jersey Devils were all in the crapper.
But they might go back in it tomorrow night.
Right.
That's not the way to think on this show. Do you understand me?
Well,
get to your
right.
best bets.
I've already handed out my best bets. Shout out to ProLine for establishing the line. -5.5, Kansas City.
Wow.
ProLine. Al's brother is a genius, and he's a he provoked us.
Brian, honestly, don't piss me off, because we just talked in commercial. We're doing a 6. It's at 6, and you took the Chiefs.
Is
and I'm not
six?
Doing
minus
it.
6 Chiefs, fine.
It's 6? So it's agreed upon.
Yeah, fine,
upon.
I'll take it. I don't care. I think they win by 14 tonight.
And this little 50 spot, do I love looking at that?
Why has it been sitting there the whole time?
Because I like looking
I know.
At it.
You're still down money. That's the yeah. best part. You're
Dude,
still
don't
in
kid
the hole.
Yourself. I've come back the last 2 weeks. I think we're about even.
We're getting close. Yeah. We're getting very close. All right, so Sound of Silence, was that a little bit much? 81% people saying appropriate.
Really?
Only 19% saying too soon. The poll brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Custom team uniforms and logos at prices to suit any budget. Play like a pro, look like a pro, JerseyFactory.com. Raptors in action tonight. Feeling good about them coming off a 3-2 road trip. I mean, I think Nick Nurse was very reserved and appropriately so on Saturday night. Yeah, they lost to Dallas, but he thought his team played well. And yep. considering the competition, considering the injuries, for them to go 3-2, man, that's impressive. And that's the toughest road trip they'll face all year. So you get that out of the way. Eventually, Kyle and Ibaka will be back. I think you're feeling pretty good in Toronto in terms of that team.
Got to get into Jay Lou's list, or did you get into that?
We got to do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because he had number 7 at number 1, which I'm not surprised. He had
really?
Number 2 at number 2. We'll touch on that a little bit more tomorrow. We are out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout sales event is on now. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Includes $300 bonus cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.